Okay, yesterday's daf was number 64, Samech Dalet. Today's Samech Hey. But to review yesterday's daf, get today's have in mind that our learning should be a schos. All the Yidden, it's a schol. All over the world, it should be safe. Hashem should protect us. Even the Jews on college campuses should be safe. See what's going on. It's pretty crazy what's going on. And also,
did you see that, what's his name, that the Technion gave out a letter that any student who wants to come, continue.
Oh, yeah,
program.
Right, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Any true student can go?
Yeah.
Well, in Iran, they said anybody, any protesters kicked out of college, they can go there for free.
Okay.
Good, let them go.
I'm sure they would love to go there, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, beautiful.
Uncover your head right here.
Yeah, just have, if you have girl, you cannot go to school, that's for sure.
All right. Okay. Also, Leinli Nishmas Yitzchak Keshel Bar Marbim Gedalia Bas Ami Bashleim Zalmin Yirmiyahu Sarah Bas Menachem Shemes Shav and Aliyah, and also for Shleima, to all who need it. With that, let's get right to the where we started off yesterday, which is at the two dots about six lines up on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. So Rav Nachman says that somebody he got change. I mean, basically, he borrowing money that's changed from his friend, and it turns out that he gave him extra. So it depends. If it's a number that is likely that somebody makes such a mistake, so then you would have to give it back. But if it's something that's not a number that makes sense that it would be a mistake, so then you could assume it's a gift and just keep it and not worry about it. What is an amount that makes sense that it would be a mistake? So basically, typically, when you're counting a lot of small coins, they usually put it in piles of either fives or tens. Tens or fives. And if you got an extra 10 or an extra 5, then you know that it's mistama, that he miscounted the groups of 5. But if it's under the 5, it's only 3, 4, or 2, so then it's not matching up. And therefore, what makes sense is that he just gave it to you. He says, look, it didn't add up to a full 5 or a full 10, so all right. You know, so under
threw it in.
He just threw it in. Okay. So Rav Acha b'rei de Rabba said to Rabashi, so I want to understand, you know, not everybody is the gift-giving type. You know, some people aren't. I just that their nature to give gifts. So what about that? So he says, there's other explanations, not necessarily a gift. Maybe he took the money unlawfully from you and he wants to sneak it back, which is, according to the price, a legal way of returning money that you stole. You just like mavliya b'cheshbon, and that's a story. What if it's a guy here I don't have any transaction with, so he's not somebody that's paying. You never had an opportunity to steal from you that you would assume that. So Gemara says sometimes maybe there's somebody else who actually stole the money. He knew that you're getting change from him, so that's a story. So he went. So he snuck the guy the money. Said, "Listen, next time he asks you for change, right? I go to the Gabbai Tzedaka, and I tell him, look, when you give him change, throw in a few extra dollars because I owe the guy the money. I stole it from him, I took it, and I never paid back. Whatever it is, and then bottom line is, either way, you can always keep it. That's the story." Rav Kahana says, "I was sitting in the back of the row of. I came late to the shiur from Rav." And I heard him talking all about these pumpkins. I'm like, what's up with the pumpkins? I missed the beginning of the shiur, so I didn't know what he was talking about. So after Rav left, he went to the other Talmidim. He says, what is Rav talking about? So he says, Rav is talking about an interesting case. Guy's paying, giving money up front to the gardener who's raising the pumpkin patch. And the going rate is basically this 10, you get 10 pumpkins, that are the size of a zeres, pinky size. Okay, it's a zeres, is the pinky finger. And he says, "I'll give you." And the guy says, "I'm going to give you a larger size because you're paying up front, so you're getting sort of extra." So is that okay? So if he has it, then it's fine. If he doesn't have it, then it's prohibited. So the Gemara says, "Isn't that obvious?" The Gemara says, "Not necessarily." obvious because it comes on its own. It, you know, the small pumpkins will be large pumpkins if you leave it long enough. Okay, so maybe it will be allowed. Kamash one that it's not. And what is this like? This is like the Braisa. The Braisa is talking about somebody who's going to milk his goat or shear his sheep or get the honey from the honey the bees. And his friend sees him and he says, whatever, look, you pay me now. We don't know how much it is, but, you know, give me X amount of money. That's all I really want to make out of this. You pay me this. Whatever shearings I got is all yours. But, you know, I'm doing this seasonal shearing or the milking or the honey. So in that case, that's perfectly permissible because, you know, you made a deal. I'm happy to
Whatever comes out.
You know, for better or for worse. I don't know. We're each taking a chance. And that's it. But if he says, this amount, if I specify a specific amount, so then, that's how much I'm selling you, or with the shearings, or with the honey as well. Basically, because you're giving money up front, I'm giving you more later, that's already prohibited. Even though it's Mimele Karavu, it's coming up on its own. So you see that it doesn't make it allowed. So, because it's not there, so it's not there at the time, so therefore it's also. So that's basically one version of the Gemara. The version B that Rava says is that actually by the pumpkin case it's allowed. How does that fit in with the Braisa? Basically, there's a fundamental, it's a subtle difference, but a fundamental difference between the pumpkin and the goat, sheep, and honey. What is that? That the pumpkin itself is what's getting bigger and bigger, and it's not coming from outside. As opposed to all the other ones, it's coming from outside. What's the litmus test? The litmus test is that if you take the milk today, there's more milk produced. Same with the shearings, same with the honey. The production is adding on from outside. Mashen Kane, if I take the pumpkin away, while it's small, then there's not going to be a new pumpkin in its place. The pumpkin is there. If I leave it, it'll get bigger. But it's the same pumpkin, so maybe that's different. And that's what he's saying, that would be perhaps allowed. And now it's the other possibility. Next we saw, Abaye said, that a person is allowed to tell his friend, here's 4 zuz for the barrel of wine.
Yeah, but the sharing is also there.
No, because it's new. Yeah, but there's more going to be growing after you shear it.
Yeah, so
that's the difference. There's no more.
The hair is there, so it's growing bigger. What's the big thing?
No, we understand. I'm only getting the difference is that when I take it early, does more come or not? That's the test. By the pumpkin, if I take the pumpkin early, there be more pumpkins done? When it's other things,
you mean it's the owner is going to get it? Or
yeah, right. There's more stuff coming out. That's the difference. Uh-huh. There's more honey being produced. There's a different production. That's not in this. That's not within. Okay. It's from without. That's the difference. Anyway, so says Abaye, a man is allowed to tell his friend, here's 4 zuz for the barrel of wine. But if this barrel of wine is sour, I get my money back. I didn't buy it. It's yours. If it goes up, if it goes down, it's on me. It doesn't matter, okay? As long as it's still wine, price fluctuates in the wine industry. Some, you know, cabs are there's a desire for the Cabernets or not, whatever it is, that's on me, okay? That's the story. So Rav Shavia said to Abaye, why is that allowed? This is what we call very close to interest because you're giving money up front, and it's what we call karav l'schar and rachav lef. It's very close to reward, and very far from a loss, and that's already prohibited typically. So Gemara says no, that's not the case because once there's a possibility of it going down, so you're taking that on, even though you're not taking all cases that it'll go down, but you are taking on some of them. That's also, as long as you're accepting upon yourself at least a portion of the risk, so then that makes it legal. Which brings us to the new Mishnah. Somebody's lending his friend money, so you cannot benefit from him by living on his property for free, or even renting it for less than the cost. You can benefit in things where you pay full price, okay? In other words, let's say, I'll give you a good example. Let's say I lend money to a restaurant, and you know, whatever. So I go there and eat there, and they either for free with my family, or I get a special discount, you know, family discount. Why? Because I lent them the money. That's also illegal. Do you understand? That's mamish, a good example, modern day example of what we're talking about over here.
Could a barter agreement be potential rivets if someone does work up front and the other person pays it back over time in a barter arrangement?
It depends. It could theoretically be problematic if it depends on how it works. Are you getting a better deal because what you did is in front than later? That's the problem. That's the question.
Okay, so if it's,
am I getting more because
you're getting it over time?
Right.
That would be problematic.
That's exactly what the problem is, yeah.
What's the status professionally? And if I do a favor for somebody, examine the kid's eyes or something, and then I have an issue, and he's a professional, and I do see him, it's more of an exchange.
I understand. No, yeah. So, right. So, I think Dr. Stock told me that he had a deal with a dentist. Okay, he got his family's dentistry work for this guy, and that guy got his podiatry work for him. You know, like that was the deal.
Wash. Yeah.
So you cover my dentistry. That's much the case, to my knowledge. That was the case.
But they don't know how much it's
actually there. You don't know what it's going to be. So that's like the milking of the cow.
I have a similar deal with Dr. Stock.
What?
It's funny you should mention. I have a similar deal with him.
Okay, there you go. So that's it. Okay.
So but there's no rivets involved.
He told me that.
You have a same dentist with you with Dr. Stock?
Not a dentist deal.
That was the joke.
Okay.
That was the joke.
He's still a joke, yeah.
But anyway, okay, whatever. The point being is being that you don't know what it is. It's just that's fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. I remember Dr. Stock was telling me about it. He said he was thankful that the guy had foot problems, that he wasn't like feeling bad about the deal. You know, like it's like a guy who never comes to him, he's getting free care. My guy might, you know, feel bad about it. But you know, Baruch Hashem, the guy had his own, you know.
There's no rivets involved.
No.
That's a business deal.
That's just
you're taking a chance. Who's using it more?
I do you a favor, you do my favor. Yeah. So whatever.
That's called professional courtesy, right?
Well, the nuance of that.
It's not a business.
If I refer to a certain doctor for a certain patient that has a certain problem, and then
you get a kickback.
And I have an issue in a simple vein, I'm going, you will charge me.
Right. Well, that's.
And then I'm sending him.
You're not doing it.
You're giving him a lot of business. Okay.
I'm sending him business, and he's taking care of me.
You're not giving him money. He's not giving you money.
There's no. Again, think of. You have to think about the scenario. What's required to be is that because you're fronting him money, he's giving you better. Like this. That's just like. You do somebody else a favor, and then he does you a favor back.
That's nothing.
Well, it's not like... That's nothing wrong with that. Right.
Favorable treatment is...
It's favorable, right. So that's... Right, that's not... I don't think that's anything like that. Here we're talking about, because I did it now, I'm getting more favorable treatment than later, because it's... Because he's not paying back till later. There's a time... The time element that you're getting an advantage for. That's what's going on.
Yeah, if it's nebulous, you don't know if it's going to come up. And
That's a separate thing. There's a nebulous factor also is a factor. Like we'll see. Not going to answer all the questions in one shot. But anyway, that's what I think. That's my take. Okay. So Rav Yosef said, Bar Min Yumi said the name of Nachman. Even though it's true halachically that if a person, you know, there's an empty courtyard and the guy's making himself comfortable there, you don't have to pay rent for it. But if he lent you money, you have to pay the rent, which is interesting. Like it's because because he owes you for having lent him the money, that makes it worse. Okay? Zuckerman says, isn't that basically what our Mishnah says? So he says, no, our Mishnah could be talking about a case where there's legit rent due, and you're actually not, and you would be somebody who normally would have to pay the rent. You don't have a place to live. And then that's actual money. But I'm talking about a case where it's not, you don't rent this out anyway. I don't need the place for a place to live. And I happen to benefit from you, but I still have to pay because of the optics. And it looks like I'm getting this benefit because of the loan. And that's accounts to ribbis. That's version A. There's a version B, where it's only where he says specifically, I'm lending you, lend me the money, and because you're lending me the money, I'm providing for you this courtyard as a place to stay. You know, I have an extra house, it's open and available for you, because you're lending me the money. So then he's attaching it literally to the loan. If you say it in that case, if you say it in the first case, it's surely in this case it's worse. But if you say it only in this case, then maybe where it wasn't attached to the loan, it was just done a favor. So then maybe it wouldn't be problematic. But in the end, so those are the two possible versions here. So that took us to an interesting story. Rav Yosef Bar Chama, there was a fellow who owed him money, and he had slaves. The guy who owed the money had some slaves that were just lying around, like sitting around doing nothing. They were just chilling. So he said to the slaves, you know what, I'm taking you, do me some work, whatever, you're going to schlep for me, you're going to be doing for me this. And he owed him money. So Rava says, why'd you do that? So he says, well, I'm doing the guy a favor. Because the slave, he has to pay them for food every day. They're doing nothing, so they're not earning their food. It's a problem. So on this way, I'm providing, giving them lunch. That's like, I'm doing the guy a favor. He says, no, that maybe that's only a case like a guy who mamish doesn't do anything. Yeah, these guys are just available to work. They're not. They're just not busy. So he says, yeah, but there's another memra from Rav Daniel Bar Katina, the name of Rav, that says that if you use somebody else's workers, they do work for you, you don't owe him money because he's happy that his slaves are working, because otherwise they get lazy and they'll do nothing. And they're better workers if they're working all the time than if they sit around doing nothing part of the time. Okay? Then they're just going to get used to being doing nothing. So that's the story. But, so he says,
does he have to know? Doesn't the owner of the slave
have he didn't, I don't know, that's a good question.
I know that he has a slave, I know he's not using him right now, so I'm just going to go over on my own and take him.
I don't know, it doesn't give the details, so that's a good question. I would assume that the guy is not...
So am I crazy?
Yeah, right, I don't know, they left that information out.
You have a prearrangement, understood, but if you don't, how can you just...
Like, how can you just say, slave? Like, you're right, yeah, I don't know, that's a good question. Slave, so. Right. Anyway, but that's the case. Anyway, he says, but that's all if he doesn't owe you money. When he owes you money, you can't do that because it's Maxi Caribis. And he says, oh, I didn't realize that, and I take it back. And that's the story, and that's where we left off yesterday.